good morning. My name is Ryan Cobb. I'm the associate pastor here at Manor Church. If you've been patient for a few minutes with us, we want to thank you for that. We're excited about getting together in this live stream format. If you've been tracking with us, we've been putting recordings up, pre-recorded, and we're hoping this is a step forward in terms of us at least connecting and being together in some kind of community way. So thank you for being here. We're excited. I also want to remind you the fact that it's Memorial Day weekend, in case you forgot. I'm sure you haven't, but I'll remind you anyway. And this is a great weekend in our culture for many reasons. A lot of people consider it the start to summer. I know my social media feeds have been filled with friends and family who are thinking, you know, we're kicking off summer now. It feels like summer now that it's Memorial Day weekend. So it's a big weekend for grilling, getting together with friends, family, going to the beach maybe or the cabin. Whatever you do, we want you to stay safe, stay socially distanced, and have a great weekend. Also, because it's Memorial Day weekend, I wanted to share the names of two families in Pennsylvania. These are Pennsylvania families, the Elkin family and the McClary family. These two families lost loved ones last fall who were serving in the military. And so we pray for them and we think of those families right here in our own state. You know, war has cost so many families, and on a weekend like this, we take time to remember that families have paid a big price, and war has cost them a lot. And so I think it matters on a weekend like this to actually think of those families, pray for those families, and so we'll do that. I think it's also important on a weekend like this to know that we worship a Lord and Savior who was nicknamed the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For unto us a child is born, His name will be Prince of Peace." And our world needs our Prince of Peace. And our Prince of Peace can lead us to peace, can reunite more and more military families with their loved ones. And so we worship him, the Prince of Peace. We hope towards peace, and we hope towards the reuniting of many, many military families. And we pray for them in that way. And so we invite you to be bringing that sense of peace to your worship this morning with us as we worship the Prince of Peace. And in a moment, I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to get into praising our King, Lord Jesus, our Prince of Peace. So why don't you pray with me now? Lord, we just thank you that we can gather like this morning. We pray a blessing over our time together. We do remember you as Prince of Peace. We want to lift up those families we mentioned to you. We pray for the Elkin family, the McClary family. We recognize just only months from losing their loved ones, they likely are still in need of your healing touch and your comfort, your grace in their lives. So we pray for that, for those families. We think of, you know, all of our military families in our community and beyond. We pray for them. We pray that you would bring peace to our world, Lord. Bring it to our community. Bring it to our state. Bring it to our nation. Bring it to our world. Help us to follow you. Help us to be obedient to you as you call us towards peace. And we pray this in your name. Amen.
Lord God Almighty, early in the morning. worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name.
Good morning. I want to spend just a few minutes sharing about a topic very near and dear to my heart, worship. Next month marks my 40th year in worship arts ministry, and over that time I've seen many changes as to what a morning service looks like. However, one thing has remained consistent. The purpose of planning services has always been to direct others to worship Christ and to encourage them in their spiritual journey. I'd like to share a few ideas of how you can grow in your worship experience. Well, what do you think of when you hear or sing the word worship? It's important to define what we're talking about. The word worship can refer to honoring God in every aspect of our lives, or a specific time that we meet on Sundays, or the time we spend singing and playing music. Some people think of a church or a chapel with candles. Others may refer to a style of music or a personal emotional experience. A better question might be, what is worship to you? The word worship comes from the Greek and Hebrew meanings of to give glory or esteem to something, to bow down, to lie flat on the floor, to attribute worth, or to serve. The English word was shortened from worth-ship to worship. It's a reverent honor, respect, and admiration paid to God. When we worship him, we proclaim his characteristics such as his goodness, holiness, greatness, and faithfulness. We also acknowledge his work of salvation and what he's currently doing in our lives. In Jesus' conversation with the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, Jesus said, "The true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks." Did you know that God is seeking people to worship him? We see that God's not looking for a certain kind of worship, but rather a certain kind of worshiper. He's far more interested in who we are than what we can do. I'd like to share two of my favorite worship definitions. The first is from Warren Wiersbe, from his book Real Worship, and he states, "Worship is the believer's response of all that he is, mind, emotions, will, and body, to all that God is and says and does." Let me say that again. Worship is the believer's response of all that he is, mind, emotions, will, and body, to all that God is and says and does. The second definition is from Borer and Allen in their book Worship, and they explain, "Worship is an act of response to God whereby we declare his supreme worth." It's vital to realize that worship is not a mood, but a response. It's not passive, but participative. It's not an experience, but an action. It's not a performance, but a focus. The key to worship is to give, not to get. It's not something we have, it's something we do. If we fail to respond, worship has probably not occurred. Worship honors God, is directed towards Christ, and requires involvement on the part of the worshiper. In the eighth grade, I was on the swim team. If I claimed to be a swimmer just because I watched a swim meet on TV or I read a book about swimming, I would only be fooling myself. In order to be a swimmer, I have to actually get in the water, get wet, and start swimming. And in the same way, as our worship, as our hearts and minds jump in, they've got to jump in to be actively engaged and focused on God. There are many examples of worship in the scriptures. The book of Psalms especially provides many insights. In Psalm 100, we're encouraged to come before the Lord with gladness, joyful songs, thanksgiving, and praise. Other psalms call for singing, shouting, clapping, upraised hands, and bowed knees. Psalm 51 urges us to have a humble servant heart attitude and to confess our sin. Many passages remind us when our hearts are heavy with stress and burdened with concern, we may offer up tears or deep cries of prayer to the Lord. We can plead for his healing, his guidance, or his help to rescue us. Hebrews 10:22 invites us to go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. And while we worship, we should feel free to express to the Lord our joy, sorrow, disappointment, or even desperation. We can be open and honest with God. Jesus emphasized in Mark chapter 12, he says, "The most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord, and you must love the Lord God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these." I especially appreciate the Message version translation, the paraphrase, which says, "Love the Lord God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence and energy, and love others as well as you love yourself." So what does it mean to love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Well, it means to love God with every part of your being. And that kind of love demands the full expression of our emotions and involves all of our mental faculties. The biblical pattern engages the whole personality. What kind of worshiper are you? Are you a worshiper who actively responds to God with your whole heart? Our worship is an outward expression of an inward attitude. It's not really about musical styles, our preferences, the instruments being used, or any of the other things that we often tend to discuss. It's really much more about our hearts responding to the love of God. Worship is revelation and response. It's measured by the intention of our hearts. So allow your heart and mind to focus on who God is and what he's done for you. Greg Shear, in his book, Essential Worship, says, God wants our whole lives, not just the specifically religious parts of them. Our understanding of worship shouldn't be primarily focused on how to separate life into tidy little boxes, but rather on how all the facets of our life come together into a cohesive whole. Genuine love for God is followed in importance by a genuine love for people. Loving our neighbor is a natural and logical outgrowth of our love for God. I'd like to give you a challenge for a spiritual homework assignment. The next time you come before the Lord in worship, privately or especially as we gather here together at Manor Church, I can't wait for us all to get back together again. I'd like to encourage you to do three things. First of all, prepare. Prepare your mind in advance. Get a good night's rest on Saturday evening. Ask the Lord to speak to you as you're driving to church. Pray that God will prepare your heart, clear your mind, and limit all the distractions so that you can hear his voice more clearly. Ask him to lead you to a person that you can encourage. Read scripture using a Bible translation you can easily understand. Second, anticipate. Anticipate hearing from God. You're much more likely to hear God's communication when you're actively expecting he will speak to you. Arrive a few minutes early to read the scripture passage for the morning. Anticipate that God will talk with you while listening to the sermon by having a pen and paper ready to take notes. Arrive a few minutes early to read the scripture passage for the morning. Pray for God's Spirit to move freely in people's minds and offer up to God a word of praise or thanks. So the first is preparation. Prepare your mind in advance. A second is anticipation. Anticipate hearing from God. And lastly is participation. Participate in every aspect of the worship service. That includes greeting others, singing, praying, the scripture readings, the offering, and the message. And when others see us engaged, they're also greatly encouraged to join in too. I promise that you'll experience God's presence and hear his voice much more consistently if you fully engage in the service. Judge the effectiveness of worship not by what did I get from the service, but rather what did I give to the service. An encounter with God will enlighten your mind. It'll stir your emotions. It's an entire being connection, heart, soul, mind, and strength. Sometimes we'll have more of a sense of his presence than at other times, but open up your spirit and allow his spirit permission to impact your life. Be the kind of worshiper that God is seeking. Live a lifestyle of worship, honoring Christ and serving him.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you, holy. You give life, you are
In 1 Chronicles 16, 8-11, it says, "Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord in his strength, seek his face always."
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen. So a couple months ago, when John first introduced the idea to Dan and I about having a service consisting mostly of music, we were both really excited. It sounded like a lot of fun. And then I realized he wanted Dan and I to each speak, and I was significantly less excited about that. This may or may not be surprising to many of you, but I honestly prefer to sing to groups of people than to talk. But for Pastor John, I shall try my best. Anyway, last week we started a new series called Praying Like Jesus, which is all about prayer, and more specifically, the Lord's Prayer. And today our focus is on the first sentence of the prayer, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Right away, Jesus reminds us that as followers of Christ, we are God's children. God, our Father, is close, personal, loving, caring, and as John reminded us last week, God's willing to do anything for us that is truly what's best for us. By calling God our Father, we're reminded that Jesus invites us to an intimate relationship with God, one where we are encouraged to approach God like a child approaches their parent. We can approach God with honesty, openness, and vulnerability. Jesus also includes the phrase, in heaven. And he's not just notifying us of God's location. God is spirit and transcends time and space, so even though he's in heaven right now sitting on his throne, he's also very much here with us. By saying in heaven, we're being reminded of God's sovereignty. We can't hide from God. God sees it all, which includes the good times and the not so good times, like what many of us are facing right now. And as our loving and caring Father, God doesn't just see us. He walks with us through all of it. Now the second half of the sentence, hallowed be your name, has been a lot of what we've been doing this morning. In modern English, it essentially means, may your name be kept holy. And for the longest time, I thought that hallowed be your name was simply a statement of reverence. But as I was studying up to talk about this, I discovered that it's more than that. According to many biblical scholars, it's actually a petition or request. When we pray, may your name be kept holy, we are essentially asking God to keep his name holy and to help us to do that. As followers of Christ, we represent our faith and God's name. Like Paul said in 2 Corinthians, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. When we believe, trust, obey, and glorify God, we are honoring his name. And when we cheat, steal, lie, and put each other down, we're doing the very opposite. Jesus taught us to start our prayers this way on purpose. Oftentimes when I pray, and I hope I'm not alone in this, but I often go right to asking for things, which is not the worst thing. Sometimes all you got time for in a certain situation is, Lord, please give me strength. And in the very next chapter in Matthew, Jesus talks about ask and it will be given. He does want us to ask for things, and he does freely give us things. But Jesus seems to be teaching his disciples and us to start our prayers differently, by focusing on God and his will instead of our own, which often changes the trajectory of our prayers. We tend to request more God-honoring things when we start our focus on him. Last note I'd like to make about this first line in the prayer is the word our. It's an important word, especially when Jesus could have easily said, my Father, but he chose to say, our Father. It invites us to remember that it's not all about me. Our individual relationships with God are very important. Ultimately, your decision to follow Christ had to be your individual decision. But then once you made that decision, you joined a family, a really big family that worships our Father together and that is invited into something way bigger than any of us individually. So with all that said, as a family of believers, please join us in singing this last song.
splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, and all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. Trembles at his voice, it trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? All will see, how great is our God.
As you get into this week, if you could please consider giving if you're able to. We know it's a hard time economically. We don't want to guilt anyone into that. But if you've been able to partner with us in God's work by giving, we appreciate that. We thank you for that. We ask that you would please visit mannerchurch.org. You can give there online a few different ways. And if you're able to do that, we just thank you for partnering with us in that way. Thank you for your generosity. And as we get going, I just want to share a verse from 2 Thessalonians, which has kind of served as a historical blessing and a way to kind of leave a time of praise and worship. So listen to these verses. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and in his grace gave us unfailing courage and a firm hope, encourage you and strengthen you to always do and say what is good. That's 2 Thessalonians 2:16 through 17. And I just love that because in these times it can be hard to think we have the courage to move forward. But this says, from Christ's grace, we have an unfailing courage to always do and say what is good. Always do and say what is good and right. And so we can walk in that power as we go this week. And we thank you for being with us. Have a great week.